A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest, plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Castletine is the play-by-play voice for the Grizzlies Radio Network. He joins now via the phone line. Eric, how's it going?
Just back from Florida, right into youth basketball camp and... getting ready to wrap up summer and get ready for a month and a half break before we get ready to go with training camp.
Yeah. Now, I have been asked this. Do we have any idea, a date or whenever that the schedule's ultimately going to get released? That's been a question that's been asked to me way too much in the past couple of days.
I have not seen an official schedule release. I mean, here's the crazy thing. Baseball is already, I think, about to release next year's schedule.
Right.
I don't know what that is. Right? I guess because they have so many rooms they have to book, and they're there for like 3-4 days. They got to make sure they can stay in the same hotel. They literally have to have their schedule done a year in advance.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll say this about the NBA. It's not made for TV like they've done with the NFL. They don't make a big deal out of it, quite frankly.
Yeah, but if you show me one of those hype videos again about releasing the schedule, some are good, some you overthought, others you're like, I don't even know if you were thinking or just came in off a 4-day bender and decided this was a good idea, but I think it would have been a better idea for you to stay at the bar and get kicked out.
Right, yeah. Now, what we did see on Friday after I got off the show was the NBA Cup, the in-season tournament, and the group that the Grizzlies are going to be in. Ooh. West Group C. That didn't seem nice. The Grizzlies are in there with the Warriors, the Pelicans, the Mavs, and the Nuggets. So the last two teams, not the last two teams, but two of the teams that were some of the last in the Western Conference, and the Nuggets and the Mavericks. The last two teams to win the Western Conference, the Nuggets and the Mavericks. And then the Pelicans, I think, got better, and the Warriors now with Buddy Hield. Hey, it's a brutal group. It's the worst group of any in the entire NBA in-season tournament.
I wonder if they don't base it on last year's records at the end of the year. So you have the Nuggets, who are a top 3 seed, right?
Right.
And then you have the Mavs, who are a second group of 3 seed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the two play-in teams and the Grizz. So the problem is we just know how good the Pelicans have gotten. We saw what the Mavs did as they made their run, and we know what the Nuggets can be. Now, I'd be interested to see. What you didn't see is like a group with San Antonio, Memphis, based on record, which that would have been great for Memphis. But like San Antonio, Utah, Memphis, you didn't do it like that because they want to try to get the best 8 teams possible or teams playing the best in there. Obviously, last year for the Grizzlies, they went 0-4.
Right.
They didn't win one game, but that was before Ja came back. So, and then you lost Steven Adams, and we all know how that went down. They lost one to Portland that they probably, quite frankly, shouldn't have lost. When they lost that one, I knew it was a problem. And that's the thing. It depends on where your first one is and who it is, and that sets a tone. Like, if you were to play Denver and it happened to be at home and you beat them, Well, now you've set a tone where, okay, but you get two more of these one way or another, and you feel like you can compete with the Warriors. I mean, they're going to look different. We'll see what they end up, you know, really coming to fruition looking like. It's a tough group. There's no doubt. But find me a group in the West that isn't going to be tough. They're all going to, all three of them are going to be tough. Unless they just go, okay, well, Utah, San Antonio, we'll figure out whatever everybody else is doing, and you guys go here together. They're not doing that. They'll split those two teams up. They'll split Portland up. However, one group will obviously have Portland and either Utah or Portland and San Antonio, but we expect the Spurs to be better. So, it's tough when you have, to me, I think there are at least 11, if not 12, maybe even a 13th team that are going to be fighting for 10 spots.
Yep.
There could be three solid teams, if everybody stays healthy, that don't even get in the play-in.
Yep. Now, I'll say this. You bring up an easy group in the West, and it's easy because I think one team's better than all the rest. But West Group B, the Thunder should run through that. Suns, Lakers, Jazz, Spurs, that should be as easy as possible for the Thunder, yep. No?
Yeah, I didn't see all. I honestly didn't look at all the groupings. I was busy watching baseball in Florida with my kid.
But, right.
I will say with that, though, what do we know about the Lakers? We know it on any given night when that group clicks, they can beat anybody. And you would think the Thunder would. You would think with the additions they've made that they have taken a huge step forward. But I wouldn't put it past San Antonio with Wembanyama a year better. I'm not going to put too much stock in everything going on in summer league, but it looks like the Spurs have found a couple good players in the draft again.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you expect them to be better. Utah's kind of the one there. So yeah, it'll be, I don't think it's just a cakewalk. And again, you never know how this goes. Like, what stretch of games are these games scheduled in? Is it the third game in four nights, even though it's not a back to back, but you had a night off? How are they going to schedule them to try to make it as competitively balanced as possible? Remember, the Grizzlies opened up in Portland on the road, the longest road trip they have, and it was the start of a two-game set in Portland where they were thinking, we got to get at least one of these two, and that's when it went down.
Yep. Now, Grizzlies are playing the Mavericks tonight at 7 o'clock for their second Summer League game in Las Vegas. How tuned in have you been to Summer League, and especially with Zach Edey only playing one game? Looks like he may return at some point, and we'll see what that looks like. But how tuned in have you been since Zach Edey was out for those basically the last three games in Summer League?
You know, I've watched to see what things I wanted to see. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I watched every minute of every game.
Right.
Being in, moving around and traveling a little bit, it was tough to catch him, but I watched what I could. Look, Jake LaRavia is putting up good numbers. Gigi Jackson scoring. It's not a surprise that, obviously losing two games with one possession in Utah, that's to kind of get your feet wet. It's not a surprise that they kind of thumped on the Kings to me. It wouldn't be a surprise if they go out and thump on Dallas tonight. I mean, like, they have a group that, whether you want to believe they're NBA players or not moving forward, Trey Jemison spent a long time in the NBA last year. Scottie
yep.
Pippen Jr. is on a two-way contract, spent a lot of time in the NBA. Gigi Jackson proved he's an NBA player. Jake LaRavia, at the end of the season, started to find his footing. So you're seeing a team that has valuable experience in actual NBA games, and when they go and they look at a guy that is picked up to get a look, whether it's in the NBA, maybe for a G League team, maybe for a team in Europe, and you're going, hey, I've played against the best, and that's not this guy, you're going to have some confidence. So I do expect them to be pretty competitive in Vegas. We'll see tonight. We'll have the coverage, obviously, Grind City Media. I'll
sure.
be part of the studio show with Gary Parrish and Michael Wallace, and so I don't put too much stock in it other than, like the year they won it, the last year I was actually there full time, watching them adjust to a new system under brand new head coach Taylor Jenkins. Jason March is out there. They're running the same stuff. They're going to have an advantage. They're going to have depth. They haven't played with Zach Edey other than one game, and he looked fine against Walker Kessler. He looked good at times, and he looked like there's work to do, but I'd like to see him out there more as best you can, but it's summer league. At the end of the day,
sure.
I think Brandon Clark said it best when he said, I'm not out there playing against Kevin Durant, but if you're going to put me out there, I'm going to go out and try to do the best job that I can and be the best player I can be. And if it means I'm the best player on the court, that's fantastic. So he knew what it was all about, and they won that summer league because of him. him coming back and him being cleared after that trade with Utah went through. And then they got Grayson Allen that same year. They had a great team, and they had a team full of guys that had played so or were capable of playing. So we'll see tonight how it goes. But, you know, if you're going to go do something, you might as well win it. I've never met an athlete that wants to step on a court and go, yeah, I'm okay if we lose. I really don't care.
Right. Now, I'll ask this because you basically say Summer League, and I agree with you. Summer League, you can't put too much stock in it. But that first game with Zach Edey, I think a little more stock goes into that because he did everything you expected him to and maybe even a little bit more. He's a good enforcer. He showed some toughness after rolling his ankle coming back into the game. And let's not discount the fact that we're talking about he was playing against a guy going into his third year who was third in Rookie of the Year voting, who was on the All-Rookie team a couple years ago, and Walker Kessler. I think that counts for a little bit more, right?
Yeah. Walker Kessler's gone against the best, and he's a big body, and you match size with him. And that was one of the things where I thought Kessler became a solid contributor for a Utah team that's on the rebuild. But he's got that size that in the games, like the Grizzlies played against them in the games I saw Utah play, there were times the ball just finds a guy that size, and you get an extra 2 points you wouldn't have gotten if the guy was 6'10", 6'11". You know, when you're that much, a little bit bigger and you can go get the ball and get a stick back, that makes a difference. And it can be a momentum shift at times. I thought, you know, obviously the tip-in on the free throw was impressive. The missing of the close one before that was, you know, people were questioning that. But
right.
There were a lot of eyes on it. That's what I know, Gabe. People want to see this guy play because my phone was blowing up that whole game. Did you see this? Did you see that? I'm like, yeah, I'm trying to watch it right now. If you stop texting me, it would help.
Let me put my damn phone down. I think, too, just watching his screen-setting ability, getting Scottie Pippen Jr., free and basically peeling off all these defenders. John Morant should have a field day alongside Zach Edey, it seems like. Seems like this is a guy who, you know, as opposed to sort of Steven Adams. Steven Adams was a great, great pick. Setter. He's great at screen setting, but he never was. He never rolled really. I think the pick and roll action with Zach Edey and John Morant's going to be a different loop thrown at other teams in the West, and especially.
Well, especially when he can just get such a quick first explosive step around that screen, it's really hard to recover. And if you do try to roll the big, and then you're leaving Edey on a guard, you just lob it up in the middle. I mean, one of the great ways that Houston Rockets team with Capella and Harden ran that pick and roll was Harden made that quick first step, and everybody called it deceptively quick. I don't know after 6 or 7 years it was deceptively quick. You knew he could make that move. And he would just get in the lane and just put the ball on his left hip and just lob it up. And you honestly couldn't tell if it was a shot or a lob sometimes. And he was at the top of the league in assists every year because he would get 4 or 5 a game to Capella rolling to the basket, and Capella was just bigger than the guy rolling with him. And that's going to be a factor. Now, Clint Capella, a little shorter, a little leaner, a little more athletic, but a big body, and not a guy that you're going to take 15 feet out from the basket and go, yeah, I'm worried he's going to make this mid-range jump shot. That was not his game, and he fit perfectly with James Harden. I'm not saying that Edey and Morant are going to be to that level, but there's something to having a big that doesn't step out and shoot, but can roll with a guard that can get in the lane. Lob City, that's where that name came from. Chris Paul coming around DeAndre Jordan. And it didn't have to always be to DeAndre Jordan. Someone comes in from the wing, whether it's Gigi Jackson, whether it's Jaren Jackson, whether it's somebody else with some athleticism that can come in and finish. If Zaire Williams is playing it in the game, there we go. So you have options, and I think that is going to be a big help to Ja Morant to have that screen again. Not necessarily the Steven Adams screen, because I don't want to put that on Zach Edey too early, but the size matters when you set a pick. It just does. And Adams was such a great pickup, and it was nothing against Jonas Valanciunas, but he didn't screen the same way. Steven Adams took you out of the play. If Zach Edey can figure that out and really work on that, there is an art to that. I remember years ago, and he didn't pan out, but Cole Aldrich, who came out of Kansas, they were excited when they got him at Oklahoma City in the draft because they said, this guy just sets enormous screens. The problem was Cole never figured out really how to use his body rolling to the basket and be effective in the lane, and it didn't pan out. So there are examples of where it does and where it doesn't.
Yep.
I think when I watch Zach Edey and hear the way he talks and see the amount of effort he has put into elevating his game, I think the work ethic says a lot to see where he's gone from when he really first started playing major college to now. He's taken huge strides forward, And the question will be, how many more strides forward can he take?
Yeah. Now, G.G. Jackson, we've seen some good and some bad from him in summer league. I think the first game there in Salt Lake City was the bad. 0 for 10 from 3, he kept chucking them up, and he was forcing shots. But I think he's sort of gotten into his own. He's taking less shots, finding his spots on the floor a little bit more as summer league's gone along. But this is the question for me. After last year where he's putting up 20 shots a game because he is the main focus for the Grizzlies, trying to bring him along development-wise, played 40-some-odd games, and there were so many injuries. How many questions do you have about his fit going into this year in this rotation? Because it's going to be completely different. He's going to have to learn along the way how he's going to play with everybody healthy.
Well, that's going to be his challenge after Summer League, because right now they expect him to be a leader. After Summer League, can you step back and go back to that role player guy behind the other leaders when they're healthy? The experience he got is valuable. There's no question. His length, his athleticism, valuable. I mean, all I know is when he was playing with confidence, going against the other team's best defenders, he was still scoring. And guys that I have a lot of respect for that have seen the game for a long time said, that kid can play.
Yep.
And that said a lot. So finding that rhythm, that is what training camp and preseason will be all about. Getting your rotation guys in there, figuring out how you want the offense to work. Now that you once again have a playmaker, a facilitator, and a guy that can set guys up, it'll be interesting to see if anything else happens with the roster moving forward and what you do, if you're going to roll with a three-guard rotation with Marcus Smart, Desmond Bane, and John Morant, and then be able to sprinkle in some Scottie Pippen Jr. at times.
Yep.
You know, whether Cam Spencer gets time in there, whether it's Jalen Wells, whatever it is, you'll figure that out. The days of guys playing 36 minutes a night are gone, but you got 96 minutes between three guys that you're really comfortable with, two coming off injury and one who had an injury earlier in the year, but it was an ankle. You know, you don't have to play them 32 minutes each and tell everybody else, sorry, there's nothing left for you. You got to get guys in there and get them experience too. So seeing how that rolls and how the offense works, that'll be huge for GG too, to figure out what his role really is. And then it's on him to accept it, because that is the hardest job for an NBA coach. Getting guys to accept their role is one of the toughest things. And sometimes it takes a little more selflessness than these guys have had to experience. When you come in and you've been a star all your life, and now all of a sudden you're said, well, you're not that guy anymore here, you're this guy. I don't know if I like that. I don't know if I feel comfortable with that. But that's the way of the NBA.
Yep.
There's only one or two guys that you look at as the true alpha dogs of the group and the leaders of the pack, but doesn't mean you can't be a contributor on a high-level team and do things like make the U.S. Olympic team like Derek White. Always just a contributor, always a guy who kept doing the little things, and then he became a great player with Boston, feeding off the two leaders of the pack, but then playing his game to the highest of levels.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why that team was so complete. They had a bunch of those guys willing to accept that. It's why they moved off some guys, and I'm not saying Marcus was one of those guys, because I think he was and still is, but they moved off guys like Malcolm Brogdon. They moved off other guys that said, all right, if you don't want to be that role for us, then we'll find a place where you can be the role you want to be, and we'll get somebody that will.
Mm-hmm.
And when they got Derek White from San Antonio on that trade, I said, that is a huge pickup. And then you bring in Drew Holiday, who has always been one to willing to say, okay, those are the alpha dogs, a guy who's been an all-star and a Team USA member. This is what my role is, and I'm going to play it to the best of my ability. You see what buying in can do for a team.
100%.
And I'm not saying that it happens to everybody, because only one team can be champion, but that Boston team was littered with guys willing to buy in. So were the Warriors championship teams. So were the Nuggets. The championship-level teams are the groups of guys that buy in and play for a singular goal.
Yeah, talking with Eric Hasseltine, play-by-play voice for the Grizzlies Radio Network. When it comes to the staff, that's something I haven't caught up with you about. The new staff, how it got all put together. Joe Boylan is added. Tomas Asalo. Noah LaRoche was the guy last year. Patrick Mutombo. Eric Schmidt. What did you make of all these changes to the staff under Taylor Jenkins? It feels like there's definitely a focus on player development within this organization.
Yeah, I think so. Those are all familiar names, and Joe's been here before. If they felt like they had to freshen it up, they had to freshen it up. I know it was not an easy decision for Taylor Jenkins. Guys that he was very, very close with, guys that he had great working relationships with are no longer in the organization. And that is not easy. I know it's something that probably aided him, knowing Coach is not on the ultimate of we're not like best friends, but I consider him a friend. And knowing the type of man that he is very loyal. And he wants nothing but the best for his guys. And that's a tough thing to go through. Now these players will have to develop these relationships. But these guys have been there before. It's not guys that people haven't heard of or haven't seen around the league or can't call their buddies that have played for them and said, hey, what's this guy all about? And again, it goes to the players. Are you buying into what we're selling and teaching, or are you going to just say, well, I want to do it my way, or the old way was better? And that's where it comes to professionalism. If you get into NBA coaching thinking you're going to buy a house and raise a family there for 20 years, you are sadly mistaken.
Yeah.
And it is sad fact reality. And it's weird because the longest tenured positions tend to be broadcasters. And we'll start running through lists and we're like, oh, yeah, that guy was with us. Oh, yeah, that guy was with you. Oh, yeah, that guy was there. Now he's here. And that's part of it. That's part of what you sign up for. But the game is still the game, and as long as everybody's on the same page with the system and the message is clear and the culture is clear, then I think you'll be fine.
Yeah, now the win totals have been published by DraftKings Sportsbook, 46.5, and I think they have that at FanDuel as well. How do you feel about that number for the Grizzlies going into next year?
I think it's a fair starting point based on what happened last year. I think if they stay healthy and are durable, I think that number can climb to 50 and
Agreed.
Above. But again, you're talking about a West where 46 is a really good season when you consider the teams in there. Look at what was tops in the West. That is not far off the number one spot.
But that also was play-in. That was the play-in number last year, 46 or 47
yes,
wins.
Yes, it was. I remember back in the day, Hubie Brown used to say, hey, 42, 43 gets you in that eighth seed every year. And then there was a year where it took 50 to get in, and the Grizzlies were fighting and then realized they weren't going to get to 50, shut Mark Gasol down, and ended up at 40. And 50 was the eighth seed. It was the Thunder and their first go in the playoffs with Kevin Durant, and they drew the Lakers as a 50-win team. And the Grizzlies as a 50-win team, the first time they made it, were a sixth seed. They had to go to San Antonio. So you can have years like that. I just think, again, when you look at what Houston's done, and apparently, you know, everybody's singing the praises of Reed Shepherd. They've made moves. When you look at the improvements San Antonio has made, they're going to beat some teams that they didn't beat last year. You still wonder about Portland and Utah and where they fit in the pecking order. What's going to happen with Phoenix and a change over there? What's going to happen with Golden State? I think you're looking at you better have 46 if you want a spot in the play-in tournament. So 46.5, if the experts are saying that, the Grizzlies tend to usually come in over, barring seasons like last year. If they go over that, they'll have an opportunity at the postseason. But you could see a group bunched up at 49, 48, 47, 46. So you have to really be careful about when you manage minutes. Are you giving away a game that you shouldn't give away? Are you thinking, oh, we can just get these guys and we'll save our best for the next night where it's a tougher game? Or are you going to see nights where they face Denver and guys get a night off and you go, well, hey, it's going to be tough to beat them in Denver anyway, or something like that? That all teams will do. All teams will look at it that way. It's our third game in four nights. This is a night to get guys rest. We were full strength, 100%. This would be a battle either way. But we'll get a night for these guys off, another night off, and then you got a team that's out of the playoff mix that's struggling. We need to win that one. You can't give games back to the field, especially at home. They've got to be better at home this year, back to the year when they were the number one home team in the NBA a couple of years ago, where last year they just struggled to find wins at home.
Yep. Now, last couple of things. I want to get to Team USA. You brought up Derek White, that addition. Jaylen Brown's a little mad about that still. But what do you think about this roster all put together, like just generally speaking?
They're the most talented roster in the deal. I mean, they should be. And the thing about Team USA, where they, to me, after the Dream Team and then the Dream Team 2 that just blew through everybody, and then they just started picking stars. And remember, they struggled. They didn't do well for a handful of years. And then they put the Redeem Team together. You got to have the right pieces. You can put the best 15 players out there. Doesn't mean you're going to win the game. Doesn't mean you're going to win the game, because the world has got talent all over. whether they're in the NBA or not. There's plenty of guys in Europe that are capable of playing the NBA, but they're going to stay overseas, fewer games, easier lifestyle, want to stay home, whatever it may be. I mean, Juan Carlos Navarro once was with the Grizzlies and was on the all-rookie team and played 1 year and said, no, I'm going back to Barcelona.
Right.
Yeah. So you got to factor that in. You got to have defenders. You got to have guys that will accept the role. You got to have guys that are like, hey, I will go and be. I'll take the responsibility of guarding their best player. And if I don't get a shot, I don't care. If we win a gold medal, that's going to be something. And sometimes the guys that have been there before, that hunger for a gold medal doesn't always translate. I mean, there was a story that Jason Kidd wanted to give Steve Wynn's wife because they trained at the Wynn, you know, that was the home of USA Basketball, was the Wynn Casino in Vegas, that he wanted to give her his gold medal. I'm like, are you insane? You don't give away a gold medal unless it's to, like, your immediate family, your children, your wife, whatever. He just, all right, yeah, she's been great to me. Here, take my gold medal. It just didn't, there wasn't the onus on it. And so those other teams, the USA has a target on their back every single night. That is the apex of you beat these guys. And you want guys that are going to fight for that, that have that desire to prove they deserve to wear USA on their chest. And I think it'll be fun to watch. It'll be interesting because we know that there are some really talented teams out there. But even in that friendly, Gabe, you watch Canada come out, and they are taking it super serious. Dylan Brooks is being Dylan the villain, bumping LeBron James. They take a lead. They're hooting and hollering. They're hyping each other up. And then all of a sudden, Team USA just went, here, hang on a second.
Right.
You know, put my cell phone down. Let me put the solo cup on the side. Now we're ready to go. And next thing you know, they're up by double digits.
Yep.
And they can do that. But you can't go in once you get into, you know, medal play and think that that's going to work. You know, you can't even really do it in pool play. You got to get your spot secured, then get the best draw you can, and then go to work. I mean, just lay it out there. But in this day and age where the money is so high and the notoriety now for winning a championship increases that check, I mean, I was listening down in Florida to, I think, the Dan Patrick Show, and they pulled their group and they said, what would you rather be, an NBA Finals MVP or a gold medal winner? And it used to be, I would think, gold medal winner, but then you think about it, like, an NBA Finals MVP is really hard to get because you got to be in the finals, and then you got to win it, and you got to play awesome. That is a prestigious honor that very few get. And it's one that I think now may carry more weight, being an NBA champion as being opposed to a gold medalist. Now, a gold medalist, I always believe this, and I hate to see that, you know, I think there's pretty obvious reasons why people were complaining about baseball, softball not being there. And it's mainly, to me, because where are you going to play it?
Right.
You're going to go over to Paris and build a couple of baseball facilities out of nowhere? They don't have them. You're going to turn a soccer facility into a baseball? So they don't necessarily have it in France that same way. Maybe they do. Maybe I'm inaccurate. But when you go over there and you can put USA on your chest and walk in the opening ceremony and be a part of, you know, the Olympics and an Olympic team, that's a big accomplishment, to say the least.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Now, did you see the second friendly exhibition against Australia in Abu Dhabi? That was a little uglier, right?
I did not.
It was 98-92, and get this. This is going to be fresh on your brain since you're just now hearing this. The USA allowed 68 points in the paint to Australia. Jock Landale had 20 points. That makes me concerned for a matchup against a team like France. I'll say that once you get into the big tournament, into the medal rounds, because you're talking about Rudy Gobert and Victor Wembanyama. They could feast if that type of trend holds.
And I think the part of the problem with the friendlies is the team knows it's just a friendly. They know it's not, you know, it's like playing a preseason game. Okay,
sure.
Cool, this guy just scored this. Which is sometimes why, you know, again, go back to summer league, you see guys go bananas. I remember when Marco Bellinelli dropped 30 in his first summer league game, and people in Golden State were going, this guy could be our starting two guard. And then he, I think, played 57 games all year long and never started one.
Right.
And, you know, we can get caught in that moment. Jock Landale, you know, that's a guy I actually respect in the league. He's worked his way in. He knows how to move. He's mobile. He's not afraid to do it. He's a lot like Isaiah Hartenstein was, where they were kind of relatively unknown, but they are big, they're mobile, they're active, and they don't stop playing. And when you play a friendly and you got a guy that doesn't quit, it's like you walk onto a pickup game and you got the five best players in the gym and you're just kind of throttling through everybody, but then there's that one team full of guys that are just scrapping and fighting and clawing, because they want to knock you off, and they make it a game.
Mm-hmm. No doubt about it.
It shouldn't be. So, interesting.
For sure. Well, I'll let you get back to it. I appreciate it, Eric. We'll do it again soon.
Look forward to it, Gabe. Take care, buddy.
Yes, sir. That's Eric Hasseltine, play-by-play voice for the Grizzlies Radio Network.
A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest, plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.